Luke chapter number 2. Of course, the setting of what I'll read is the bringing of Jesus to the temple for dedication as a male child. There's an old priest there by the name of Simeon, and he takes care of the dedication. And then he makes some prophecy while Jesus, his mother Mary, and of course Joseph is there, and tells us what's going to happen to the son, and then how that it also is going to affect the mother. And then I notice in verse number 36, this is what I'm interested in. And there was one. I'm interested in that. Anna. New Testament name, Luke chapter 2, verse 36. For the Old Testament, Hannah. Both meaning gracious. A prophetess. The daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years before her virginity. She was a widow of about 84 years, 84 years, and departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm interested in how the Holy Ghost set that up. We knew nothing before of this lady. And we know nothing afterwards. But in this setting, it is that the Holy Ghost had it pinned and brought her to our attention. And the way it's worded is what grips me. In that it speaks of how there was one, Anna. She was one with one God, one temple. She had had one husband, one word. She was uniquely single and not another. But this is not only true of Anna, this is true of everyone that is here tonight. Though we gathered as a congregation, God looks at us individually. Because we have been made especially one. When you think about each one of us, the iris of your eye has over 400 points that makes it different than any other set of eyes that ever has been or ever will be. So much so it can be used to unlock codes, scanning. Your fingerprints, as we all know, have over 40 points that separates your handprint from any human that has ever lived or that ever will live. Which simply says to me that you are one, whoever you are, whatever your name is, you are one. And I want us to look at this little lady and emphasize this matter of one Anna. Three things I would simply say, as I point out here in the text, and make application to you as individuals and make application to me. Let the Holy Ghost speak to you of your importance to Him. Individually as one. I'm preaching on this subject when one is enough. When one is enough. The first thing that I would point out to you is I noticed that one was enough in Anna's seeking after God. She is one who is pursuing the Lord. Preached on it last night. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. It's not a matter of us getting in a bunch of folks that are drawing nigh to Him. Hopefully, they are. But whether they do or not, there is the possibility of you as an individual seeking Him. As David talked about the deer that panteth after the water brook, wanting Him beyond anything else. As the scripture said, there was one Anna, and she departed not from the temple, emphasizing her worship in His presence. Anna is one who is going after God. Now, it is here that I notice her human touch. I realize that we worship God in spirit, but we must do it with our bodies. When we approach Him, we don't just approach Him with a spirit. We approach Him totally, spirit, soul, and body. And He's interested, as we see in this Anna, He's interested in each one of us moving in His direction with who we are, with where we are, and with what we have. The scripture gives us enough details so we can find out a little bit about this Anna, who's more than enough, who is seeking God with who she is in the human sense. We understand that she was born a woman or a young lady. She's born a girl. In a day in which families would much rather have had a son, because hopefully through that son, the Messiah, or they might birth the Messiah. I've been told and have read the prayers of the Jews in Bible times was, Lord, thank you that I was not born a Gentile, a dog, or a woman. But here we have this lady that was born. She didn't have no choice in the matter. She was born in gender a female. And she took it to God. She was a wife for 7 years, the Bible said. And then after that, for all the remaining years, until we come up to this text here in the scriptures, she has been a widow without her husband. It seems as though, or implies, or at least they're not mentioned, that she never had any children. She's literally without family. A young lady to begin with, a wife, a widow, aged, and without family. Now she takes what she is that she cannot change. Those things that I have described to you that are mentioned that lets us know anything about this lady. Some of the things she might have liked and some of the things she may not have liked. Certainly some of the things she would have changed if she could have, but she could not. But no matter what her lot was in life that we know, and no doubt the many things that we don't know anything about, it makes no difference. She brought Anna to God. She brought this lady, she brought this widow, she brought this elderly lady. She kept pursuing and following after God. My emphasis is, there's more than enough in the one you to head out after God, because I'm going to tell you something. If you're heading His direction, He'll head in your direction. And you can take the one. You say, but preacher, you don't know who I am. Don't make no difference. You don't know where I've been. Doesn't make any difference. You don't know what I've gone through. Doesn't make any difference. Can I say to you individually, sitting here tonight, you're the one who can take who you are and where you've been and what you've gone through and start heading toward God. And it'll be more than enough to reach Him. One and a, more than enough, one and a, seeking after God. Don't know if there's anybody here tonight that ever was privileged to hear Brother David Ring, born with cerebral palsy. Anybody? What a special occasion it was to hear him. You could tell in his body that he had and had at the present tense this cerebral palsy. He testifies in his message, and he talks about how that the doctors told his parents that he wouldn't live, first of all. Secondly, he'd never be able to walk. He'd never be able to talk. He'd never be able to marry. He'd never be able to drive a car. He'd never be able to do what others like you and I have been privileged to do. And you could hear it in the brokenness. He had to be really precise in his message so you could understand what he was saying. And had been preaching for many years when I heard him. But I love the way he would close that down, emphasizing what you can do with the one who you are. He said, I have cerebral palsy. What is your excuse? Anna is a lady of age that's lost a husband, has no children. Who knows what her physical situation is and condition is at 84, but it makes no difference. She takes what she's got in the humans and just bring what you've got to God. Whatever that may be, whatever the ailments may be, whatever the age may be, whatever the conditions, whatever the experiences, bring what I'm going to tell you, the one Anna, the one you, tonight, where you're at, can head toward God. One is more than enough in this matter of approaching the Lord. Some here may have also heard Lindy Clear or heard of him. I wasn't privileged to meet him, but I heard him on cassette tape at Taylorsville camp meeting testifying. My wife saw him many times. He said that he was ugly. I took his word for it. And Brother Lester said he looked like a Martian. My brother-in-law, my wife said, ugly, ugly. But oh, how God used him instrumentally in singing to minister to hearts across the country. Now, I'd never seen him personally, but I heard him on tape and listened to many people I know that had heard him. And on that tape, he testified how that when people would come to his house to visit when he was a boy, his mama would put him back in another room and close the door. She's so embarrassed. And said when he got up of age and began to walk the streets or go to town or something, the police would stop him because they thought maybe he was a vagabond or he was a street person or a tramp or something of that nature. Everywhere he went, people judged him according to his looks. He said he prayed one day and said, oh God, why have you made me so ugly? And he said, the Lord spoke back and said, the reason why I made you, Lindy, so ugly is I wanted everybody to know I wasn't particular in whom I love. And I'm going to tell you what he did. He took all that ugly. They said he had big old fingers. You saw him. And he'd play those instruments. And I'm going to tell you, heaven would come down and people would worship God. Here's one ugly man that was more than enough in his approach to God and seeking God. I hesitate to use my testimony. I've mentioned it a couple of times this week. But you know, I never had a mother other than one that birthed me. She left when I was a year and a half old, never set eyes on her. My dad never remarried, so didn't know what a mother was all about. But after getting saved, I got up into my 30s, and I thought, I'm going to pursue her. And the only reason I was pursuing her is, first of all, I wanted to thank her for being the instrument, the vessel for God bringing me into the world, whatever the circumstances. And to tell her of Christ, that hopefully she could know the same Christ that I know. But then the third thing that I want to ask her is, why did you name me Dana? I mean, it's sort of like a boy named Sue. I mean, this happens all the time. I get telephone calls, and I have to tell them three or four times, no, I am the Mr., not the Mrs., just because my name is Dana. I've had people come to the church services of different religions that thought because of the sign. One fellow told me, he said he handed out a little brochure about the meeting. The lady said, "You got a man? You got a woman preaching for me, for you?" I've had women come. I've had people come to hear a woman preach because of my name. I said, "Why did you call me that?" And of course, my grandyoungins, since they came into the family, we put up this huge ruler on the wall, and every time they come, they know that Daddy Dana is going to measure them. I'm just measuring them. And they think I'm obsessed with it. I guess I am. And so one day they said, "Well, Daddy Dana, let us measure you." I said, "There are no use." They said, "Why?" I said, "I've always been 5'7 3/4, and I'm not giving up a fraction." Because that was what I was measured when I was in high school. Finally, they kept on, and I said, "Okay, I'll let you measure me." They put me up against the ruler, and guess what? I'd lost the 3/4. I went down to 5'7". But here's what I want to say to you. That's all I had. I couldn't determine whether I'd be 5'8", 5'9", 5'10". I'm 5'7". I couldn't determine what name that I was going to have, how I was going to look, the pitch of my voice, or any of those other things. But what I could do, I could take 5'7" Dana with who I am and where I came from and head out toward God. And I found it to be more than enough. It's more than enough. Just take what you got. Skinny, fat, tall, short, healthy, sick, old, young, man, woman, boy, or girl, you're one, but you're more than enough to take what you got in the human sense and head out for God, because that's all you got. More than enough in seeking God in this human sense. Seeking Him with the level of intelligence and understanding that you have. Seeking Him with the educational past that you've got. Seeking Him with the skills and the abilities that you've got. Seeking Him with the advantages or disadvantages that you've had in life. Just take it to God and see if it won't be enough. One Anna. More than enough in seeking God. But I'm interested in verse 37 also. "And she was a widow of about 84 years. I don't know nothing about that. But as I preached last night, I know something about 70.
which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. The one Anna, more than enough with that human touch, taking everything that she is and was and heading toward God. But the one Anna, more than enough, with an humbled touch, in that the major thing that she did, that the scripture notes of all other things, is she served God. I'm going to tell you, I want you to know, if you want to add importance to the human touch, whatever it is, you give it an humble touch to where you're not only seeking God, but you're interested in serving God. And the Bible said she didn't do it part-time. She did it night and day, hallelujah. It didn't make any difference or matter what the task was or the time. She had a servant's heart. You're more than enough for God to allow you to serve Him and be a servant to others. You can take 25, 35, 45, 55, 65. Don't get to the age that you think that you've got beyond God being able to use you on one level or another. You can pray, you can give, you can help, you can call somebody on the phone, you can reach out, you can use this for the kingdom of heaven's sake. An humble touch. Hard telling. D.L. Moody said, what can come out of one life that is determined to give it all to God for their whole life? Isn't that amazing? I think it's the best thing, the biggest thing that could be said about anything that was said about her at 84. She served God. Oh, listen. And she's not in bad company. Listen, the greatest thing that can be said of you, as I said, is that you serve God. Take the one. Now, you can't do anything about what everybody else does. Don't go to grumbling because ain't nobody else there serving God. That's none of your business. Nobody may be serving the Lord where you work. You may not live in a family where people want to serve God. There may be some people that attend this church who've got no desire to serve God. But I'm going to tell you something, that shouldn't keep you from wanting to serve Him 100. If she can do it 110% at 84, what can we do with who we are and where we're at? Just get to it. Line up and say, God, I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a blessing. I want to give it all. I ain't got much. I'm 84 years old. I'm an old worn out woman. But I'm going to do what I can do for God. Just one. Look at that. Just one. The Bible said Moses, the servant of God, Joshua, the servant of God, Peter, the servant of God, James, the servant of God, Paul, a servant of God, and Christ came into this world to be what? A servant. As a matter of fact, let me say it this way. No matter who you are, where you're at, what age you are, what your mentality is, what your strength is, or wellness, or whatever that you may have, if you're not using it to serve, it's not of a lot of value to anybody in the human sense and the spiritual sense. You say that's awful cruel. Well, it's just the truth of the matter. If you're not serving, you're sucking the life out of something else. All the energy out of something else. Hey, listen to me, young lady. Don't suck the energy out of mom and daddy. Get in there and serve. Hey, wife, don't suck the energy out of the husband. Get in there and serve. Hey, husband, don't suck the energy out of the wife. Get in there and serve. Hey, elderly person, man, woman, whatever, don't get to where you're sucking the life out of everybody else. Because you have, I mean, get in there and serve to the last breath. And it'll be more than enough. With just the one, you say, well, what can I do? I'm just one old lady. Looky here! It'd be amazing what you'll do if you just got your heart and mind on serving. Now, I don't want to be cruel with this, but you think about the prodigal son. He was so demanding, he wanted everybody to serve him to begin with. The last words he said to his father is, give me. That's what he'd been saying all the time. America has produced and propagated that type of attitude in this day. They figure they can get you your vote if they can just promise you something and get you to say, well, give me. I want in the front of the line. Give me, give me. But I'm going to tell you something. He was of no value to his father. He was of no value. They loved him. They loved him, but he was no value to that home. He added nothing to it. Went off into the far country, and he wasn't a benefit out there either. They ended up having a famine because he was there. That's the whole reason why the famine came. And it wasn't until he came home and said to his daddy, I don't want to give me anymore. I want to make me. I want to be as one of your hired servants. And I'm going to tell you something. From that day forward, there was value in this boy and everywhere he went and everything he did, because he did it with the spirit of a servant. Serve. Serve. With your last breath, serve. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't let age stop you. Don't let circumstances cause you to move. No. Don't let your youth and say, well, I'm just not old enough for that. Hey, you're the one. Anna's the one. That's more than enough to seek God and to serve God. Amen. Thinking about a dear lady out in Springfield, Illinois. God called her to sing at 84 years old. Yeah, she's 94 now. And preaching her church out there, be back out there next year. And she literally would go into those rest homes and sing for hours to people that didn't even hardly know they were in the world. But she said, preacher, you never know what they might hear. I said, well, Sister Dixie, I said, that is so special. She said, well, it ain't, don't take much. I said, I'm going to tell you how important that is, that if Jesus was here literally in his body, he'd go over there with you and sit and sing. Because he is with her while she's singing. And she was so touched with what needed, what she saw in those rest homes, she was so touched with that, that she decided it was time for her to give up her house. She said, I wanted to be there full time with them old folks, is what she called them, 94 years old. And I'm going to tell you, I love to call her on the phone because I hear of a new experience. She said, preacher, I just got up and said some of them can't feed themselves and said the nurses are so busy they can't do it all. I'll find one to feed or one of them will be lost because they can't think straight and I'll try to find the room. And said, I spend my time at 94 years old trying to help somebody. And she said, the workers will come by and kiss me on the head and say, you're so special. She said, no, I'm not special. I just want to do something for the Lord. Ain't that amazing? And when I talk to her, she's got the life. I mean, she's 94 years old and got the spirit of a 16-year-old full of the Holy Ghost. Woo! And here's the last thing she told me here a while back. Two or three phone calls back. She said to me, preacher, I just feel like God's gotten something more for me to do. Woo! When one is enough to seek God and one is enough to serve God. Woo! Just take what you got with the human touch. I mean, if it's ugly, take it. If it's short, take it. I mean, if you're sickly, if you're young, just take the one. That's all you got.
And take that humble touch in whatever situation you get in. You get to looking where you can get down and serve somebody somewhere. And I promise you, it'll be more than enough. Another fellow in the church that this man, my wife, knew since she was a small girl. Hubert Matheson, he wouldn't mind me telling you. He got such a servant's heart, and I've known him for several years, but I mean, he's always, you don't know about it, somebody will tell you something, he's always doing something for somebody, and he's 89 years old. I saw him on the phone one day, and I said, "What you doing?" He said, "Well, I got a lady that moved in next door. She's young, ain't got no husband, bad shape, and a little baby." And said, "She has to work," and said, "I noticed that she had some folks come mowing her yard." And said, "It dawned on me out there mowing one day." Well, I said, after she got home, said, I went over, and now 89 years old, said, "Are you paying them to mow that yard?" And she said, "Yes, sir, I am." He said, "Don't pay them no more. I'll be mowing that yard from now on." 89 years old. He ain't planning on dying too soon. He took on another job. But I was preaching at that church. And Gary Shue's church.
Yeah, oh yeah. I know.
I was preaching at that church, and Gary got up and he said, "Now y'all folks be here on Saturday." He said, "We're going to ordain two deacons." I wasn't paying a lot of attention. He mentioned the first man. I knew him. He was sitting out there. And then he said, "We're going to ordain Hubert Matheson as a deacon." 89 years old. But I'm going to tell you something. He got all kind of... I'm going to tell you why. Because for all of those years, he's been interested in helping somebody else. And he stayed busy. And he may be older, but he ain't old. And here he is at 89, going to serve. And I mean, they believe in serve. Deacon's supposed to serve. 89. I said, "You, but you're going to be a deacon." He said, "Well, I'm honored to be so. I can't believe they asked me." One Anna. I wonder why the Holy Ghost said it like that. And one Anna, who was more than enough with that human touch to seek God, bringing what you got. Wasn't it amazing, Brother Lester, with what he's been through in the last year or two? And I've been so thrilled. It's like he's stepped back in time this week. I mean, I've just enjoyed. He has no sign of wanting to give up. Preaching in them prison, in the prison. My goodness. And look at old McIntosh. Tell me it don't pay to just keep on going. Came out of that. Hallelujah. There's something more God wants to do in you and through you. You're more than enough right where you're at to get done what God wants done as a servant. One Anna, one another. But then, not only do we see that humble touch, or that human touch seeking God, that humble touch serving God. But I like the way the scripture words her. Now, she's 84 years old. I don't know how she moved at 84. I'm not going to ask anybody here tonight if you're 84. Are you 84? No. Oh. But notice what it said. And she, now, Jesus is there, Mary's there, she's been looking for him, telling everybody about him. Simeon has just dedicated him. And she coming in that instant. Now, it sounds like that's pretty quick, doesn't it? Instant. Gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Woo!
and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem.
I'm going to tell you something. She's more than enough in this matter of sharing God. Did you notice that's what that's all about? With a hallelujah touch. Isn't that what it said?
She came in with a hallelujah touch. In an instance gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Thanking God. At 84, she's been through a lot. She's, I'm telling you, faced a lot. Read the text. It'll tell you.
And spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you something. If you got around Anna, you're just going to get preached to. I don't know how she did. I'm sure she didn't make a stride when she's coming in. You know, older folks can't do that, but they get to where they do this. I can hear her. I can hear her coming in. Somebody said, what's that? It's Anna. She's coming. Look out when she gets here now. She's going to have both arms in the air. She's praising God. And because she's a-looking and sharing. But she's going to see him on this day. And she's coming in thanking God. A hallelujah touch telling everybody about him. This world needs to hear about him. But the only way they can is got to be one. There'll have to be one. There'll have to be someone that's going to tell them, why not you and me?
She ain't grumbling.
Oh, she's got aches and pains. She's not mad. She's not upset. She's coming in. Woo! Woo! Thank you, Lord. Where's he at? He's got a... She can't quit going, and she can't quit glorying in God. That's the thing that thrills me about the days ahead. Is I want to, if God lets me, I wouldn't mind making it to 90 if I could just keep on praising him and telling somebody about him and have a little bit of a hallelujah touch. I know I've told you this, but I'll tell it to you again because you're probably like me, you forget most things. When I got saved, I was going to that little storefront church. And because of the way I was raised, I was just taken from bar to bar to bar as a kid. And, you know, the kind of singing in there and everything goes in there is just rowdy. So I suppose that, you know, when you went to church, I'd never been. But I just, you know, I thought, well, you probably would be dignified there and reserved and quiet. That's my thinking. Because, you know, in bars, screaming and hollering, drinking and fighting. And then the music is, she's gone again with another, could be your brother. I don't know if the singing makes them drink or the drink makes them listen to the singing. I had never figured that out. But man, I loved the singing when I got saved, got in the house of the Lord. But I thought it was supposed to be that way, so I went in, you know, and of course I'd just gotten saved. I was going to try to, you know, be like everybody else, I thought. Until an old lady, Miss Gray, sitting on this side with a bun on her head, got up and started shouting all across the front. Amen. I turned around and said, is that legal? They said, yeah, if the Holy Ghost is on. And I said, good, I want to get in on that. And I'm going to tell you, as a young teenage kid and an 80-some-year-old woman had a time. Because every time she'd turn loose, it'd make me want to turn loose. Praising God, I couldn't get over. There might have been 60, 70 years between us in age, but not 6 seconds in spirit. We both wanted to praise the Lord. And thank God you don't have to get beyond the point of which you want to give him the glory. And here she comes in, thanking God, praising God, and has been a witness. all because she was one. She wasn't waiting on anybody else to do it. And she wasn't going to shut down thinking maybe somebody else would do it. She's going to be the one with what she had, who she was, serving God and sharing Him. With that human touch, I mean, she's just an old woman. With that humble touch, she had a servant's heart. That hallelujah touch, she had a heart that was full of praise and glory. But she just won. But that's all it takes. It'll be more than enough when it comes to the one. Several years ago, I was introduced to this preacher up in the Georgia mountains. Lee Keyes was his name. McKaysville, Georgia. He was an evangelist many years ago. And he said one day he was driving through those Georgia mountains, probably up there near Helen and all that other stuff. That's where the Georgia mountains are. And he said, for some reason, the Holy Ghost told him, said, pull over and preach. He said, man, I was just on a curvy road. There wasn't even no houses or nothing. He said, just, and I said, Lord, there ain't nobody here. He said, pull over and preach. I want you to preach. He said, I found me a place on the side of the road as well as I could. Said, I got out of the car, and for 5 minutes, he said, I just walked up and down in the woods there, and I preached the gospel, just like I was preaching to a bunch of sinners. So that's what I felt like preaching. Felt I should preach. Said, I got in my car, and drove off, and forgot about it. He said, many years later, he said, I was in Chadsworth, Georgia, preaching a meeting. Said, I got up and said, I opened my Bible and I began to read my text. Said, a lady in the back of the church jumped up and started hollering, you're the one, you're the one, you're the one. And he said, I thought, I'm the one what? She said, years ago, had a couple babies out in a cornfield hoeing corn, doing the best I could to make a living. And said, while I was out there, it's so quiet. And said, I got to hearing somebody preaching. I never could see him. And said, they got to preaching about Jesus and how much he loved sinners and died for them. And said, I bowed down in my corn row and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I never thought I'd know who it was, but you're the one. Said, when you started reading those scriptures, I remembered that voice. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. God needs you to be the one. Somebody needs you to be the one.
Yes.
Anna. The one. Anna. Now let me say it this way. Whoever you are here tonight, and whatever your name is, you're the only one that God has. You're the only Lester, like you're the only one. He doesn't have another Lester. He doesn't have another Alan. He doesn't have another Esther. He doesn't have another Jason. He's only got one. He ever only made one. Never was one before you. Never will be one after you. He just made one of you. He's only, I'm telling you, God has limited himself to one of each of us. But the question is, what you going to do with the one? I want you to know, it'll be more than enough.
Thank you, Lord.
Mr. Well, you don't know where my aches and pains are. Worship Him. Serve Him. glorify him. Well, I'm so young and embarrassed. Just worship him, serving him, and praise him. You can't be no more nor less than what you are, but you can take it to God. But you've only got one. You've only got one. He's only got one of you. But it's more than enough. Had a little poem. Brother Gary Shue wrote it. Give it to me. It applies with this, the one Anna, and to you and me. A man will never be who he's not. And you can put lady in there too. No matter how hard he tries, the only thing you will do when others you try to fool is end up telling two lies. Because you can't be yourself and you can't be the one that you really try to admire. So just leave him alone, go on your own, and you'll never know how God will use you to inspire as the one. And the thing that thrills my heart going in and out of churches is I don't see congregations, I see individuals. And I'm thinking, man, it would be wonderful if I could be the one in someone else's life. And I realize that God has you here to be the one in someone else's life. But one. Now, you say, well, she just won Anna. I said, really? She didn't know that God was going to take the one, put it in his book, so that everybody that's held this book and read the book of Luke has read about the one Anna. Ain't that amazing? And I'm going to tell you something else. If you've read about the one Anna, I've got a granddaughter that her name was Anna. But every Anna that I know was named Anna because of Anna. Right?
Yeah.
Because of Anna. She never realized how many folks she was going to influence when somebody said, you know, I'd like for my daughter to be like this one. Now, they won't be her. Never has been but one, this Anna. But I'm going to tell you something. I've got an Anna that I really believe God has his hand on her. I wouldn't just say that unless I felt that. And she's heard me preach this, and here's her heart. She said, Daddy Dana, I'm the one, Anna. And think about what one did to influence one's life 2,000 years away. And to realize when you're long gone, and off the scene, you will have touched lives that are still living. And one life will touch one life will touch one life because you were willing to be the one for God. Woo! Don't you love it? He only has one of you. He's just got one. He only made one. What you gonna do with it? Anna, what you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to the house of God. I got some things to do. Why don't you slow down a little bit? Do you know how old you are? He said, well, I haven't thought about it, but I'm going to use my one, she said, for God. Hey, did you see how the Holy Ghost put that in there? The one. John. Bill. The one. Sandy, the one will be more than enough. And all he wants is you. Nobody else has your iris. No one else has your fingerprints. No one else has your heart. You're the one. I'll ask my wife to come and play. as we say each night, you just do what the Lord would have you to do. Could be a fresh and new. You'd just like to come and say, Lord, I want to be the one. I want to be that one. Help me to be that one for you and for others.